see. Okay, Thursday night, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chayesara. It's Chaf Dalet Cheshvan. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Now that Thanksgiving is over, we can get to focus on the next sugya, or the next area that is coming up, the next big food festival that we're going to be having. I'm not talking about Hanukkah, that's only a little latkes and donuts. Of course, I'm talking about Pesach. And our Mishnah Gemara on Daf Zayin, Amud Beis, explained the part of the Mishnah which brings in a second machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The Mishnah tells us, back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Sa'or b'kizayis v'chomitz b'kosebes. Beis Shammai omrim Sa'or b'kizayis v'chomitz b'kosebes. That Beis Shammai says that Sa'or, which is like a sourdough leavening type agent, that shear is a kizayis. And chomitz, the shear is kosebes. Kizayis is an olive. Kosebes is a date. Interestingly, where is a kosebes? Where else do we see a kosebes? Kosebes also comes from the Isra Achila on Yom Kippur. Happens to be that Tosfos points out that the reason what we bring in Kosevis is that's like the next shear up after Kazayas. Because, you know, normally we think about things Kazayas, we think about Kabetza. You don't usually have Kosevis, so there was what to say that Chomitz is going to be a little bit of a higher shear than Saor, so we're going to put it at the next step up. So that's where we get Kosevis from. And Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel Omrim Zevizet B'Kazayas. Both of them are dealing with Kazayas. And the Gemara starts off by mentioning that the truth is why Beis Shammai says there are two shiurim and why Beis Hillel says that there's one shiur. So if we just look at the Gemara quickly, the Gemara says, "My time, I would Beis Shammai. What's Beis Shammai's reason? Im kein liftov rachmana chametz v'lo ba'isar. Because had there been the same shiur, the Torah could have just said chametz, and I wouldn't have needed to know sa'ar. The anamina, I would have said the following." Had the shear just been a kazayas, not kosevis, the shear just been a kazayas, I could say the following. Oh, well, chametz, which is not a leavening agent necessarily, it doesn't cause the process, it's something that the process was done to. So if that's going to be a kazayas, so'or shechimutso kasha, that has such a concentration of chametz that can actually make something else chametz, lo kol shekein. So Sa'ar de Kasav Rahman Alamali. So then why does the Torah have to say Sa'ar again? And the two psukim that we're dealing with are Sa'ar lo yimatzei bevateichem ki kolo chel machmetzes. So it's all in that same pasuk. So why do you have to repeat both of them? And why do I have to mention both of it? So Rabbi Shammai says Lomar lo shiur shel zeh lo kishiur shel zeh. To tell you that they have different shiurim. And once we're doing this, we're going to give chametz the more lenient shiur, because it's not as strong of a leavening agent as Sa'or is. And Beis Hillel Tzrichim, Beis Hillel is going to say, no, we need both psukim. You can have the same shear, but we need both psukim, because had we had one, we couldn't have learned out the other we couldn't have learned out the second from the first. And why not? The ikas of Rahman of Sa'or have emina mishum de chimutzu kasha. Aval chomit sein chimutzu kasha im alo. So Beis Hillel says, hey, listen, it just said Sa'or, I might think that, yes, Sa'or is Asr, because not only is it Chametz, but it also causes things to become Chametz. It's double problem. Chametz, which itself is just leavened, that might not be an issue, so Tzricha. Because of Rachmana Chametz, Mishum the Roy La'achila. If you just said Chametz, I couldn't learn Sa'or from it. Why? Because Chametz is fit for consumption. Sa'or, imagine this concentration of yeast, or you're looking at, you know, sourdough is the term that I remember learning when I was younger. Like the souring type of agent that you put into dough to make it go, you can't eat that. It's not really edible. The taste is horrible. It's very sour. It's not fit for consumption. It will do great in terms of dough, in terms of rubbing it rise, but it's not going to be able to be edible. So if it just said chametz, I might think that things are only usher when the roi la'achila. Aval sa'or, She'ein roi la'achila, ein malo, so tzricha, we need them both. So now the Gemara asks a question, because till now, what has our assumption been? Our assumption has been that we're dealing with what? The Isra of Achila. Except the Gemara tells us, Beis Shammai leisu Rabbi Zeira, Beis Shammai doesn't hold of what Rabbi Zeira mentioned. Tom Rabbi Zeira, pasach hakasa b'sa'or, v'siyam b'chametz. The Torah starts with sa'or and ends with chametz. Lomar lach, zehu sa'or v'zehu chametz. To tell you that what? That the shear of chametz is the same as the shear of sa'or. So wait a second. So now, I guess you could say that Rabbi Shammai and Rabbi Zeira are not saying the same thing, but it's not Yitachin that Rabbi Zeira would say something which would go against the Mishnah, go against the Beis Shammai. Something so blatant. So rather, the Gemara tells us the following. And we totally switch gears over here. And this is the idea. The Gemara tells us, there's no machlokes beisilo beishamai in terms of eating. As far as eating is concerned, we speak about the iser as being a kezayis, and that's it. Ki pligi leinyan biur. We're dealing with the chiyuv of biur, what we call the chiyuv of the iser b'ayira b'ayimatze. Beishamai savri lo yelfinan biur me'achila. Beishamai hold, we don't learn burning from achila, that the shear of burning is definitely different. Meaning, achila is a kezayis all the way through the board. But according to Beis Shammai, as far as the Isra of Pa'yiroi Ba'yimatzi, when it comes to chametz, that's going to be a koseves. Ubeis Hilo Sarvi Yalfinan Bir Me'achil. And Beis Hilo says, no, we learn one from the other, and that's why it's the same shear. And the Gemara brings it down, also just closing up the point. It Renami and Rabbi Yossi Bechanina Machlokasin and Bir. Aval Inyan Achila Divriya calls Zevaz Epikazayas. And we finally bring one more Bryce to Tani Nami Hachi. That when it comes to Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzei, that's exactly where the machlokas between Beis Hillel Beishamai. She Beis Shammai Omrim Sar Bekazayis VeChametz Bekoseves Beis Hillel Omrim Zevezeb Bekazayis. So the conclusion of our Gemara is that we're not dealing with the shayla of achila, but we're dealing with the shayla of Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzei. I want to make two small points, just detailing two little areas of Ba'yiroi Ba'yimatzei. You know, of course, we know that Ba'yiroi Ba'yimatzei is a very serious avera, serious iser, and there are two things that we basically do to get rid of it. One of them is bitul chametz, and the other one is mechiras chametz. Question is, what is the purpose of bitul chametz? And that's actually a machlokas in the beginning of Pesachim. It's a machlokas Rishonim, which takes place between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Pesachim tells us that the reason of we do bitul chametz is the way of doing tashbisu. Really what? Really the isur, the idin of tashbisu is to destroy it. The way that you can mekayim tashbisu, when the Torah says destroy your chametz, is a hashbasa belev, making it ka'afra da'ara. The reason why we end up burning it and do bedikas chametz is because we're afraid that it's not going to work so well. We're not going to do such a good hashbasa belev. Tosfos says that no. Bittul, though, is not work in terms of tashbisu. Bittul is a hefker. That when we're mevatel the chametz, we say it becomes hefker, becomes ownerless, like the dust of the land. What's the nafkamina between the two? So one nafkamina is the nusach that we use when we say kol chamira. Do we say lehevei ke'afr da'ara? Should just be like the dust of the land, and that's how Rashi would do it? Or is it like we do it? We say lehevei hefker ke'afr da'ara. You make it hefker like the dust of the land. Now you might say, what's the nafkamin? Okay, if it's hefker or it's tashbisu. So Zilberstein brings down a very interesting case where there was a person in Eretz Yisrael who worked for the military. I believe it was an Air Force type contractor who had very, very tight security clearance that basically he was the only person allowed into his office. He worked pretty much by himself. His food, and he didn't, you know, didn't have like a cafeteria or anything like that. He kept everything in his office. Everything was under lock and key. And what happened is, the question is, does his bitul chametz, this guy, really, you know, he realized that, oh, before Pesach, right before, he realized that he had a refrigerator full of food, and he wasn't coming to work. Is his bitul chametz going to work? And the question is, well, depends, what does bitul chametz accomplish? If you're going to say bitul chametz makes a tashbisu. So then, yeah, this situation where nobody can get to it, including himself, but including you being mafkir, right? Nobody can get to it. So yeah, if bitul is tashbisu, so then yeah, you were mekayim tashbisu. It doesn't make a difference if somebody can get to it. But if you're going to say bitul is hefker, so then it would make a difference because being mafkir something right now and holding on to it to the point where nobody can get to it, that kind of makes your hefker meaningless. So that would be a nafkamina in terms of whether bitul is hefker or whether bitul is actually a kiyum in the mitzvah of tashbis. That's one little inin, one little nakuda The other thing in terms of taking care of the Isser Bal Yeroi Bal Yamate is a very common practice amongst, I believe, many Jews, and that's do Mechiras Chametz, to go ahead and sell Chametz.
For Hafker, so then you have to make it available to other people. You can't just say, oh, it's Hafker in the privacy of my own home, because then no one knows that it's Hafker, so to speak.
Well, that's right. So what's when we're
no one has access to it.
Right, so I guess by us declaring it, you know, you're just saying, you know, this is that, you know, there is still the theoretical possibility of somebody coming to your house and taking it. Here, in this case, the guy is like...
We know, in this case, we know that no one is going
to... No, come, like, it's all right. It's under, like, military security. We're like...
So, A, no one will know.
Right.
And B, no one could even take...
They'll even get to it, right. It's not right. It's not even like...
Even if they knew.
Even if they knew about it, right. That was the second... That was the Nakud over there. You know, this next one is definitely... Could come up in a... Especially in our shul that we have over here. There's a story of a person who, pretty firm person, very religious person, got religious people in our shul also, and what he used to do is he had a special set of clothing that he used to wear only on Yontif. And in fact, he would only wear it on Chol HaMoed. So what happened, he was in Eretz Yisrael, an Israeli person, and why he was wearing his Chol HaMoed suit on Simchas Torah, it wasn't really explained in the Shaila. It could be maybe it was like a, let's say it was a Hakaf of Shnios that he went to, and he decided, you know, B'nei Chutz La'aretz are, you know, in honor of B'nei Chutz La'aretz, so he's going to go the second night of Shmini Atzeres, you have to make Savdol, he wasn't going to wear his Big Day Yontif, so let's say he put on his Big Day Chol HaMoed, and he comes, and sitting over there, and somebody just walks over to him and wishes him a good, right? I guess he didn't want to say good, Vach, a good, he's that, so they wished him a good. And he brought him a little present. What did he give him? He gave him a teeny little bottle of schnapps. You know, one of those airport-sized bottles of schnapps with one serving things. And, you know, being that he's in a dry shul, like we have over here in Pesach, he felt that he doesn't want to drink it in shul. He wants to follow the rules. He's an Erlicha person. So he leaves it in his pocket, puts it away, takes off his suit, goes to work the next day. And being that it's his Chol HaMoed suit, the next time he takes it out is actually on Tes Zayin Nisan, which is his first day of Chol HaMoed, and he opens up his suit, and all of a sudden he sees that he's got a little bottle of scotch in his pocket, and being from Shomer Torah Mitzvah that he has a little freak out attack. And then he remembers it says in Shulchan Aruch, you find chametz in your house in Chol HaMoed, you're supposed to burn it. So he's about ready to go ahead and set the scotch on fire, maybe even see it like burn up a little bit. But all of a sudden he realizes, hey, wait a second. I sold my chametz. And what is this mechiras chametz, right? Mechiras chametz, you know, in terms of getting rid of the iser of Bal Yeroi, Bal Yamatzei. So what we do is we sell it to a guy. We sell the chametz to a guy. So once the guy owns the chametz, so then it's his. There's no iser Bal Yeroi, Bal Yamatzei for a guy. So over Pesach, the chametz belongs to the guy. I'm now free from my iser. After Pesach, of course, the guy either will sell it back to you or sell it back to the Rav being your shliach, and then you'll get your chametz back. So the question is, he was thinking, wait a second, how could I actually burn this? On one hand, it's chametz that I found on Pesach. On the other hand, I sell to the guy. If I'm going ahead and I'm burning it, so then what am I doing? Right? We know that, of course, you know, okay, Gezel Akum might be Mutter Midoraisa, but we... This guy's an Erlich guy, and we don't... The Rabbanim, we say there's such a thing as Gezel Akum. And besides from that, you know, you're destroying his own property. So the question was brought to Rav Yashiv. And Rav Yashiv wanted to say that really there's not such an issue of burning a guy's chametz over here. Because the question is, what type of mechir are we dealing with over here? And if you want to say that this is a full-fledged, bona fide mechira, when you're selling the chametz, so then, yeah, it's going to be something like, you know, you're right, then you can't go ahead and burn the guy's chametz. However, if the guy is doing it consciously, knowing that, you know, I'm taking this on, the ownership, to save this Jew from the Isra chametz, but really it's kind of like in my property, but I'm kind of more like being like the guardian of it, and I know that in 7 days it's going to be back to him. So in that case, in that situation over here, so then he's not going to really care if the Jew is going to go and destroy the chametz, because at the end of the day, what's going to happen? He's going to get his money. He's not going to be keeping on to the thing over there. You know, he's doing him a favor. He's owning it for over here. Does he really care about the cheap bottle of scotch in the guy's jacket pocket? The answer, of course not. So that's what Rav Yosef wanted to say. Save from Mikrai Kodesh, though.
He should burn it.
Yeah, like if on your chametz. I mean, the halach in Shulchan Aruch, when it says that you find chametz on Pesach, we're not necessarily talking about a case where you sold chametz. You know, it could be just happened. You didn't sell any chametz and you just found it. So, the Sefer Mikrai Kodesh disagrees with this and says, you can't do this. This is the kinyan of a guy. And by you going ahead and burning this chametz, so, manafshach, if you go ahead and burn it, you destroy, right? And say, yeah, listen, it's a real mechira, then you're destroying the guy's property. And if you're going to say, like, it's not a real mechira, then what are you doing over here?
And all your other stuff.
Right, it's making the whole thing into a joke. So, manafshach. You can't burn it. You're either going to be destroying the guy's chametz, or you're going to be turning beer chametz into a joke. So, on the surface, it sounds like a machlokas. But Zilberstein wanted to say that it's not necessarily a machlokas that you have over here, because he said that you can make a chiluk between the person in our story and the average person that the Mikroi Kodesh was talking about. The average person that the Mikroi Kodesh was talking about is somebody who might, poke fun at the mechira, might realize, you know, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do this. But Rav Zilberstein was talking about a person who is a Ben Aliyah, somebody who is very pious, very observant, and he really is doing this knowing that I'm not really selling it to the guy to make a full-fledged mechira. And I'm not going to be making fun of the mechira concept. What I'm doing is I'm just transferring ownership on paper to take me away from an isser. So because of that, number one, you're not going to be undermining the whole purpose of the mechira, because you know what the whole purpose of the mechira, and because you know the whole purpose of the mechira is just to get you away from the isser, and the guy himself is not going to be worried about, oh, I'm going to be losing out my money, because he really knows I'm only doing this as a favor, a legal favor. So therefore, Zilberstein was under the opinion that, number one, yes, you are allowed to go ahead and burn this bottle of whiskey, and number two, always check your pockets even before Pesach, and don't carry bottles of whiskey in your pockets. It would get you into trouble. Luckily, this is a case about chametz.
Right.
I was going to say, imagine he's lucky he didn't get pulled over by a police officer for speeding, because then he would have some other trouble, and that would be a different child. Not for this daf gemara, but maybe a different.